Good morning, Way Fellowship Church. It's good to see all of you today. We just got done singing about mercy. We are going to now hear about mercy. If you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. As a church, we've been journeying through the Gospel of Matthew, and we are now in chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. If you were here last week, we talked about church discipline, something that isn't covered much nowadays. Our command, our call to hold others accountable to God's word and to the pursuit of holiness. And this week we kind of piggyback off of that, in that once someone recognizes their wrong, once someone repents from their wrong, we are then to do what? We are to forgive them, right? But it goes even further than that, not just if someone repents, not if just someone confesses. We are still, though, called to be people who forgive others. And so this morning we have a broad brush of what forgiveness looks like. We got 3 points that I'll get to, and then a central truth at the end that really unpacks why we have such a hard time forgiving. Let's begin in verse 21. Peter came up to him, to Jesus, and he said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Peter asked Jesus, "Should I forgive my brother 7 times? 7 was a symbolic number throughout the Bible. It represented completeness and wholeness. We had 7 days of the week, 7 times. You know, the Israelites were to march around Jericho. 7 times the trumpets are to be proclaimed. 7 churches in Revelation. It has this idea of completeness. And Peter's asking Jesus, should we do it 7 times? But also the rabbis at this day and age, were telling people that they should only forgive people up to 3 times. So Peter might be trying to puff himself up a little bit, look a little bit better than the rabbis. But he says, "Yes, Jesus, how many times should we forgive our brother? 7 times. And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. Jesus says, not just 7 times, but 77 times. He takes this symbolic number of 7, and he multiplies it to basically infinity. Jesus is not saying that once this person offends you 78 times, you no longer have to forgive them. Okay, 77 times is another symbolic number, basically representing infinity. How long or how many times are we supposed to forgive someone? As long as it takes, is what Jesus is saying. As long as it takes. Now that's kind of hard to hear, but Jesus goes on to unpack this for us. He says in verse 23, "Therefore the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. This king desires to settle all of his accounts. They bring in one servant who owes him 10,000 talents. Now, the word talent is the highest denomination of currency that the Romans had at that time. So a talent was the highest bill, coin, that the Romans had at that time. But when they say 10,000, 10,000 was the highest number for which the Greek language had a particular word for it. We use that word myriad today, and it comes from 10,000 in the Greek language. So Jesus is saying this master wants to settle his accounts. He calls the servants in, and one is brought before him who owes him. His debt is so big that there's no other word in the Greek language to qualify the debt that he is owed. And he also uses this other word, you know, to refer to the monetary amount that is possible at that time to pay someone. This is a huge debt that this individual owes his master. It's incalculable. Several million dollars to $1 trillion is what scholars try to tell us this amount was. What we need to understand is that in this story, this was an incredible debt that could not be paid off. It was just so vast that it could not be paid off. Verse 25, since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So this was the ancient days, right? And if you didn't have that money to pay off your debt, you and your whole family were sold into slavery. It's not like today where you just, you know, claim bankruptcy and someone else absorbs it for you. There are consequences. And this man was sold into slavery, plus his entire family. He could not pay this debt off. Verse 26, the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, begging him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. The servant begs his master. He promises to pay back everything. And please file this away. He promises to pay back everything, but that was impossible. And keep in mind, this is a debt he could never, ever repay. Verse 27, out of pity for him, the master of the servant released him and forgave him the debt. There was an incredible debt, and there was now an incredible show of mercy. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. This forgiven servant finds a fellow servant who owes him money. He seizes him and he begins to choke him, screaming at him, pay what you owe. This fellow servant owed him 100 denarii, which was basically the equivalent of 100 days' wages. So he had just been forgiven this incredible infinity debt, and over here, this other servant owes him 100 days' worth of wages, and he's choking him. This fellow servant fell down, verse 29, and he pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. The servant begs the forgiven servant, just as he had begged the master, with the same exact words, but verse 30, he refuses and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. He refused. The literal translation, he didn't desire to. He had no desire to forgive this fellow servant his debt. His heart was so hardened against his fellow servant. Do you see the extreme contrast between the mercy of the master and the lack of mercy from this forgiven servant? And when his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and they reported to their master all that had taken place. And so what will the master do? Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And notice Jesus' description of the forgiven servant. How does he describe this forgiven servant in this verse? Wicked. The forgiven servant's refusal to forgive was wicked. Why? Because he says, "You should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you." It was wicked to have received the master's forgiveness and then not to extend that same mercy to his fellow servant. And because of this, in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. The forgiven servant's inability to forgive his fellow servant deeply angered the master. So much so that the master handed him over to the jailers, literally the tormentors, It's not jailers, it's actually tormentors. Until when? Until he might be able to pay all his debt off. But listen, remember what we had said earlier. Remember what I pointed out. We're told what about this unforgiven, we're told what about the forgiven servant's debt. It was a debt so vast that it was impossible to pay off, correct? There's no way this servant would be able to pay off such a debt in a lifetime. And listen, especially if he was in jail, right? So the master hands him over to the tormentors that he might pay off the debt. But listen, there's no way this gentleman can ever pay off this debt. And so what is the point of this parable? Jesus lays it out in verse 35. He says, "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." Jesus says, your brother, connecting it back to Peter's original question. What are we to understand from this parable? There are three points that Jesus makes for us this morning. And as I go through them, I want you to do one thing for me. I want you to think. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to help you to see people, a person or people in your life who you have not forgiven, that individual who you still hold anger and bitterness towards, that the Holy Spirit would just bring that to the surface and that he would help you to do business with this issue in your life today. Three points that Jesus makes in this parable and in the preamble to it. First, we are to forgive regardless of how many times we've been sinned against. This is biblical truth. We are to forgive regardless of how many times the individual has sinned against us. And I know you're hearing this, and this, some of you, this is hard to hear, because that person has sinned against you so often. The rabbis taught you only needed to forgive that person three times. Peter proposes seven times, but Jesus says 77, symbolic of infinity. Two things to understand in this first point. First, if they've sinned against you, you need to forgive them. You just do. It's a command. It's an expectation. We've got to do it. But second, if that person still today brings bitterness and anger to your heart after all these years, you still need to forgive him or her. Jesus told us to forgive 77 times because I think he knew how hard this was going to be for us. Something happens in your life and it just triggers a thought to that person and you see that face and it just stirs all the emotions up again. And you know what? We have to just forgive again. Years later, maybe. Second, we are to forgive regardless of how severely we've been sinned against. And again, the pushback, oh, I don't want to hear this. This one really hurts. But we are to forgive regardless of how hurtful they were to us. The master showed an extraordinary depth of mercy to this servant. It was a debt that he could never have repaid, and yet the master forgave him of that debt. Jesus is telling us that it doesn't matter what they've done to you, you still got to forgive them. And hearing that hurts, because their betrayal, their viciousness, their hard-heartedness, their lack of love hurt you so deeply. But you've got to forgive. Why? Because Jesus forgave you. Because there was an enormous debt on your life that you owed the Creator of the universe, and He forgave you. A debt so incredibly big that you could never pay it off, and yet in His mercy, He forgave you. There's that. It's a pretty good reason. But secondly, friend, if you don't forgive this person, it will continue to eat away at your soul forever. It will do damage to you forever. I've said this before, but the unresolved conflict of our past is still the unresolved conflict of our present. If you don't do business with what happened in the past, it will continue to haunt you forever. So forgive that individual and experience the freedom of Christ. Listen, I've got one of these people. Someone says something and the face pops in my head and it just brings up an incredible amount of emotions because this person hurt me, this person said just nasty, vile things about me, attacked my character, you know, go on and on and on. And in that moment, I have to make that decision to forgive this individual once again. You might find that it just takes 77 times. And so I've asked you to think about that individual. How many times have they sinned against you? How extreme was that sin? That face is in your mind, and I'm praying that you will do business with God and forgive. Now, side question, does this mean that you have to do life with that individual? No. It is possible to forgive and still have healthy boundaries for your life and your family's life. God might call you to that, maybe. But are you sitting, if you're sitting there thinking, I'm telling you to go out of your way to make that friendship what it was once again, I can't tell you that. Jesus doesn't tell us that right here. What He tells us is, you got to forgive them. Okay? Third, we are to forgive regardless of whether the offender has repented or not. So more pushback. Man, this is, really? I don't know about that one. We are to forgive even if the individual hasn't repented. In verse 33, the expectation was that the servant would go and show mercy to those who owed him before coming to him to plead for their forgiveness. There was an expectation of the master that this forgiven servant would show mercy on those who owed him a debt. The master expected the forgiven servant to go and to do likewise. Contrary to what you and I think and contrary to what we want, repentance isn't the issue. Forgiveness is never earned. Need to say that again? Repentance is never earned. I'm sorry, forgiveness is never earned. It's always given. Refusing to forgive the offender will always do great damage to your soul. You have no control on how they're going to behave and react and receive it. But what you do have control over is your decision to forgive. And if you don't forgive, if you're withholding this forgiveness, why? Withholding this forgiveness will not do what you think it's going to accomplish. You withhold the forgiveness thinking that in doing so, you're going to teach that person. But instead, you're just hurting yourself. Jesus says, verse 35, "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." It's hard. We want to hold on to the pain that person has caused us. I don't know why. It's disgusting. It's sadistic. But we like holding on to that pain that that person has caused us for years. Somehow it makes us feel alive. But it's actually death. What we need to do is be holding on to and focusing upon the gospel. Not the hurt, not the misery, not the wrong, but upon the gospel. Because what this parable is really about is it's about faith. Or better yet, a misappropriation of faith. Our central truth this morning is our inability to forgive another is directly related to our lack of faith in the gospel. See, at its core, this is a parable about faith. It's a faith issue. Do you believe the gospel or not? Do you truly believe that we all need forgiveness? Do you believe that we all owe God an immeasurable debt? Or do you still think it's about works? That somehow if you do this right or if you do that right, you will earn God's forgiveness. That if you just work hard enough to pay off that debt, the master will let you off. You see, this guy needed forgiveness, but he didn't want it. He had an incredible debt that couldn't be paid off, and in his mind, he still thought that he could somehow pay it off. But he couldn't. There was no way this individual could pay it off. He thought he could. His heart wanted to do it. He wanted to work off that debt to make things right. But listen, friend, it's impossible to make things right with God. By working. And it's the same for you and me. We don't like the idea of being in anyone's debt. And so, do you still secretly believe that you can work off your debt? Have you been deceived and have bought into the lie that you contribute anything to your salvation? Why is it so hard to forgive that other individual? Because you've forgotten it's all about God's grace. That the gospel isn't about working off your debt. That the gospel is about grace. It's about mercy. And so at the heart of all of this is your inability to forgive, stemming from a lack of faith in the gospel. Because you've allowed your heart to believe that it's somehow about works for you and for that person. That if they would just try harder, if they would just figure it out, if they would just be nicer, if they would just repent, if they would acknowledge they're wrong. Why do you think that? Because you yourself have a flawed thinking about salvation. Somehow you've dumbed it down to works again, and you put that expectation on the individual that you're focusing on. John Piper says this: the key to becoming a merciful person is to become a broken person. You see, this forgiven servant wasn't really broken. He never realized the depth of the master's mercy. And friend, until you're broken and until you truly understand the depths of God's mercy given to us through Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, you will never be a merciful person. If you've been having a hard time forgiving another, then you need to go back to the gospel, which says that we are all sinners and we are all in need of forgiveness, but that forgiveness only comes through Jesus Christ. And so forgive. Forgive those who wrong you. Central truth this morning, our inability to forgive another is directly related to our lack of faith in the gospel. Do you believe the gospel? Do you believe that you're a sinner? Do you believe that that sin is an offense to God? And that the only way that that offense can be cleaned up is if God does that. And the Bible teaches the only way that that was possible is if someone cleaned up the mess and paid the penalty as well. And so Jesus was sent. He died on a cross. And on that cross, why did he die? Well, why do people go to church? Why is there a band and prayer and songs and preaching and teaching if it's not about Jesus' death and our need for forgiveness? Have you forgotten the gospel and your need for forgiveness? Have you forgotten the gospel and that individual's need for forgiveness? Listen, that person will never come to Christ if you're going to hold on to bitterness and give them the cold shoulder for the rest of your life. Our ability to forgive others is a testimony to the forgiveness that we've received in Christ, but it's also a proclamation of the gospel when we forgive others. It's a picture. And so, friend, if you've been having a hard time forgiving another, will you trust in Jesus this morning? Will you trust in his grace and his forgiveness? Will you go back to the gospel? Will you remember once again your great need for mercy? And will you receive it from Christ and ask him to help you extend that grace to others? Will you do that this morning? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is life. There are so many words and so many voices in this world, but your word is life. Help us to hear your voice today. Help us to receive that which you want to give us today, freedom, clarity. Lord, I pray for those here this morning who are struggling with a lack of forgiveness. Lord, I pray that you would help them to understand your gospel as it means for them. Lord, that you would open their eyes and their heart to see the connection between what you have done on the cross for them and what they need to do for those who have wronged them. Lord, you were nailed to a cross by people who hated you. And yet you forgave those who did it. So Lord, I just ask for freedom from anger and bitterness. Lord, I ask for your spirit to fill each of us this morning, that we would be obedient. Lord, that we would be bold and strong. And Lord, that we would forgive those who have hurt us. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.